We had our vacation Bible school this past week, and it was a great event for our kids and for their families. And it went from Monday through Thursday, and it ended on Thursday night with the evening mass and adoration, and then the Knights of Columbus grilled out hot dogs and brats for a meal for the kids and their families. So at the meal, I went around and I asked some of the kids what they liked most about VBS. And the first one said, the snacks. They had root beer floats. So the second one that I asked, he said that he liked best the meal that they were eating right then. So I guess the Knights did a good job with the food prep. And then the third one I asked said, the snacks. So as I was reflecting upon this, I began to notice a pattern. But I do know that the kids picked up other things too, because they absorb a lot when they're when they're at Vacation Bible School. You know, they remembered, you know, things we had talked about last year about a Eucharistic miracle. They remembered details from different Bible stories that we had covered. So I'm sure that there were a lot of different Catholic teachings and values that were being absorbed. But they really liked the food, so we know that. But in our gospel today, this passage from John 6 takes place right after Jesus had multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children. And the people are searching for him after that miracle. And he says to them, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. So these people had just witnessed a miracle that affirmed the divinity of Jesus Christ. And a miracle that showed God's desire to feed and to provide for his people. But they really just wanted more food. That's what they were concerned about. You know, very few people seek Jesus because he is Jesus. But the response that Jesus has, he wants to elevate their desires from natural food to something higher. And so he says to them, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And so he promises them a different form of food, a greater food than what he provided with the multiplication of loaves, which was natural food. He promises them something greater. And that's a promise he's going to fulfill at the Last Supper when he changes bread and wine into his own flesh and blood. You know, ultimately, all of us long for the eternal. We long for something that will last. And Jesus promises us that in the Eucharist. And so the question I want to reflect upon is, how does the Eucharist benefit us? You know, why is the Eucharist so great that it benefits us not only in this lifetime, but in eternity? That it's eternal. You know, I think sometimes even people, when we might affirm that, yes, we believe that the Eucharist is truly the body and blood of Christ, we believe what Scripture says and what the Church teaches, but sometimes people might struggle to see practically why the Eucharist matters so much. You know, 2 weeks ago, I preached about a woman who was in an addiction recovery program who had a complete and total transformation, and it came about through daily Eucharistic adoration. And I encourage you, if you missed that homily, it's on the website. But the same transformation can happen with us. When we receive the bread of life, we can be transformed eternally. And so one of the things that can happen as we spend time in Eucharistic adoration, or when we come to Mass and spend time in the presence of the Eucharist, is that we can begin to experience in our own soul sentiments that God places in there. You know, things that are from God. And if we allow those sentiments to transform us, we become more like God. And so what's an example of that? Well, we might come to confession, or come to adoration, or come into the presence of the Eucharist, and we might experience an intense desire for the conversion of somebody that we know who's living a life of darkness. And maybe it's someone that we never really thought much about or paid much attention to, but as we come to adoration, suddenly we have a deep desire for their conversion, that they come to know Christ and the fullness of truth. Or maybe we come to adoration and we're angry about or towards someone who maybe hurt us. But as we spend time in adoration, that anger is transformed and it becomes sorrow for sin. You know, sorrow for whatever sin was committed. And a desire for that person to receive mercy and forgiveness. So that instead of being angry, that's transformed into a desire for mercy for others. Or maybe we come to adoration and, you know, we have a concern of what somebody thinks of us or, you know, what the esteem of others. And as we spend time in adoration, as we begin to see our true dignity before the presence of God, suddenly what other people think of us fades in importance. Or maybe we're tired and overwhelmed with all the responsibilities that we have in our daily life. And as we come before the Eucharist, we experience renewed strength. When we spend time in the presence of the Eucharist, our Lord gives life and transforms our own souls in very real ways in order to draw us into a deeper union with Him. And so that transformation is real. But it doesn't happen automatically. We do have to be properly disposed. So the first thing that's necessary is that we come with an attitude of faith. That when we come into the presence of the Eucharist, we believe and we affirm our faith in the Eucharist. And the second thing that's necessary is that we give a commitment of time. Because the transformation often doesn't happen in an instant. You know, God could work that way. But more often than not, it's a slow and gradual process. And so going to adoration once can be a good thing, but when we spend regular, consistent time in prayer in the presence of the Eucharist, it will bear much more fruit over time. And if we look at how things happen in nature, which is created by God, it happens that way. You know, you don't plant a seed and then water it once and then instantly you have a tree there. It happens very slowly and very gradually. You know, but over time, you know, you might look at it after a long period of time and realize that it's a majestic tree towering over the landscape. But if you stare at it at any given point in time, you're not going to see it grow. You know, it's a similar way with adoration and spending time in the presence of the Eucharist. It requires time and nourishment. And the third thing that's necessary is freedom from sin. Because sin is an obstacle to that transformation happening. So if we go to confession regularly for venial sins, we're removing those obstacles that slow the growth. And if we have mortal sin that we need to confess, then we have to do that first and have our relationship with the Lord reestablished so that that transformation can happen. But today, as we reflect upon the gospel and the bread of life which Christ promises us, you know, bread that does not perish, I encourage each one of us to give consent to the Lord as we're in the presence of the Eucharist, to implant His sentiments within us, to transform our hearts so that we can begin to see things and to will things the way that God does. You know, I encourage us to give consent to the Lord to transform us inwardly each time that we come into the presence of the Eucharist, whether it's at Mass or at Eucharistic adoration.